That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Millennials, welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Friday, you guys. So exciting. Hey, Claudia, how are you doing?
Hello, Jacqueline. Happy 100% day and happy Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. It's a good day. It's a big day. It's Friday. It's New Music Friday. And that means my anthem, my pop song that is taking the music industry by storm, is out on Spotify. You can buy it on iTunes, Apple Music. It's called 100% by Claudia Ashray. And we're wearing our 100% merch to celebrate the release of another toasty, life-changing anthem.
We are so excited. So nice to have another song in the rotation. Yeah. And it really is bop season. I listened to it last night before I went to bed, and then I woke up with it in my head. Like, it really gets stuck in your head, this song.
That's amazing, amazing to hear, because that was obviously the goal, like a song you just can't get away from. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. Like, as much as I love Toast, like, I needed a new bop, especially for tour. So, like, if you're coming to shows this week, I'm going to be in DC and Philly at the end of next week. Like, learn the song. We're going to jam out to it. It's going to become a big part of the show. So I'm just feeling very excited. Like, the reception has been really good. At first, people were saying they really, like, they were playing it and their husbands were like, is that Miley Cyrus? Now, I know husbands, like, aren't, like, the most accurate reporters, but it was more than one person that said that. And now people are saying it's giving Taylor Swift during her Message in a Bottle era. So I just wanted to put that out there because that's what people are saying, not even me.
I mean, the Miley vibe for sure. I just know I feel alone in this empty house, but I'm okay because we've got Power, Sweet and Sour.
And also, I'm so glad you brought that up, a toast to us, the wild ones. I'm incapable of having a song come out that doesn't have the word toast in it.
And I don't know about you, but I'm dancing with the boys and the girls.
You
yeah.
know, I think we should talk about that doing line what we do in my pre-chorus. World.
Okay, tell me about it.
Well, I love it because I'm always dancing with the boys and the girls, the gay boys and the girls. And when Ben heard that line, he was like, what?
No, when I heard
with the boys and the girls,
when I heard the line alone in this empty house, I'm like, where's Ben? And now it's like, dancing with boys and the girls, where's Ben?
Oh my god, you're right. Well, whenever I like meet a new music producer, and I used a new producer this time, he was like, tell me the vibe, tell me like yeses and nos. I'm like, well, I'm a married woman, and a lot of songs are like, you know, going to the clubs, meeting a man. I'm like, we can't have any of that. Like, this is a GNO song because I'm married and like I'm boring. And so we have to get creative with the lyrics.
It's a song about friendship is what you're saying.
It's literally a song about friendship. I couldn't agree more.
Okay. I think the world needs more songs about friendship. So check out 100% by Claudia Ashray, streaming now on Spotify. Anywhere you listen to music or where you listen to The Toast, you could probably find her.
And if you like are feeling so inspired by the song, go pick up some 100% merch available at shopmorningtoast.com. Jackie and I are both wearing the sweatshirt. There's matching pants that I'm going to put on later to film a TikTok with my new song, because a major development after yesterday's episode, we reached out to the choreographer via the podcast. We're like, to whoever choreographed the old TikTok dance for Toast, if you're still a toaster, which you're probably not, hit us up. And of course she's still a toaster. I spoke to her last night. She lives so close to the Spritz office that we messengered her some Spritz. She wanted to get it in the video. She literally choreographed it, posted it so fast. It's up on her channel, and she posted a tutorial because the dance is very complex, and I'm going to spend the rest of the day learning it. It's not going to be easy for me.
I wish you sent it to me. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, she put it up this morning. I'll send you everything.
Okay.
Her name is Lucy Jones.
I saw that she was found she was getting to work, but I haven't seen the dance yet. So I'm really excited to see what people bring to the dance.
I'm really nervous to do the dance because, like, I'm just not good at TikTok dancing. And it actually might be that I'm just not a good dancer, but that's a reality I'm not ready to accept.
I think you're fine at TikTok dancing. Like, just have fun with it. If you're having fun, then... Okay.
What about regular dancing? What kind of dancer do you think I am?
I think you're a fine regular dancer, too. Nothing to be embarrassed about.
But nothing to write home about, either.
No, but I don't think that you write home about it. Like, I think you just hit the dance floor, you have a good time. I think it's all about, like, if you look like you're having a good time or you look like you're uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean?
That's true. That's actually incredibly true.
So, no, don't sweat it. You're a great dancer.
Okay. Like, that's why I look, I don't know if you noticed, like, extra beautiful today, because I will be spending the rest of the day making TikToks.
That is a fun way for you to spend your day. I know there's nothing else you'd rather be doing.
Well, honestly, what I'd rather be doing is sitting down watching TikToks instead of making them, but it's okay.
I don't make TikToks. I just watch them.
Literally. Well, we've got a great show, aside from the fact that it's Friday and there's just going to be great energy coming out of this episode because of the song. But also, I have some things to talk about in the TV recap because me and Ben started Ted Lasso.
Okay. Well, how many episodes?
4. But I got the gist of the show,
right.
You know?
You know what they're doing there.
And I'm all caught up on Sex and the City. And, like, I just have to tell you what happened. Okay? But I'll do it in the TV recap because there's spoilers and we'll just do it at the end of the show.
Fine by me. Sounds good to me.
How's the hobby going?
The hobbies are going good. So I brought the piano up last night, but now I just need to find an extension cord to plug it in where I want to play it. But my piano books arrived last night, so I haven't, like, started practice yet. Practice starts today. Ooh. And I'm really excited to see, you know, how it feels and if I'm any good and if it, like, occupies my time. Also,
There's an element of muscle memory there.
Yeah, but I also really needed the hobbies for the weekends. Like, during the weekdays, I'm actually really busy with toe stuff, and it's not until, like, late afternoon that, you know, I'm technically free, and that's when I also get so tired. That's not when I'm looking to play the piano. So as we go into the weekend, it's going to be hobby-filled. I will keep everyone posted on all of the different things that I'm trying out. Hopefully Monday I'll have a hobby update, and I'll let you know what's working and what's not working.
And did all your shit arrive? Like, your paint by the numbers?
No, but I think it's coming, like, today.
Okay, that's very exciting. You need, like, a hobby room, because all these things take up a lot of space.
Yes, well, if you've noticed, I moved out from my bedroom into my living room, because I just thought the vibe was a little bit prettier out here, and I'm hoping my connection is better, because yesterday my video was so fucked, and, like, my mouth didn't match up with my audio. So I'm just trying new things, and that frees up my bedroom. Now there's a piano in there, like, I'm not going to stream from the bedroom with the piano in the background. So the bedroom can become the hobby room. My dining table can become my office, and I'm just moving things around.
Okay, well, whenever it is that you decide you're ready to get on the track and remix 100% with the keyboard, Bruno and Theo on the triangles, you just let me know.
Okay, it might be like an acoustic version.
Stripped back. I love that. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love the idea.
Okay, cool. Let's let everyone get into this one first, and then, like, in a few Fridays from now, we'll release the remix.
I love that. Great. Stunning.
Well, we have a lot to talk about today. A lot of, like, news stories closing up for the weekend. We're closing up shop. Yesterday, I watched the second part of Jamie Lynn on Call Her Daddy. So we'll be talking about that. That was only TV, technically, that I watched. And we're going to put this story to bed because it's time.
It's time. I agree. Like, let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah. So I guess without further ado, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Single Drunk Female. Samantha Fink is a person in progress, and being a person is hard. Single Drunk Female is the new Freeform original series now streaming on Hulu. It's from the executive producer of Girls and the executive producer of Russian Doll. Samantha used to get drunk all the time, but now she's getting clean, and that's going to get really messy. Fresh out of rehab, Samantha is forced to move back home and live with her mom, who she affectionately calls her smother. She works at a local grocery store, she takes naps in the cereal aisle, and is going to meetings. She's taking sobriety one day at a time, but the days just keep on coming. With her former drinking buddy and newly found friends of the program by her side, Sam is trying to make the most of her second chance, a chance to start over, a chance to be a slightly better person, a chance at love. When you start at rock bottom, the only way to go is up. Check out the new dramedy that is sure to make you laugh, even if it's sometimes it's just to keep you from crying. Freeform's Single Drunk Female is streaming now on Hulu. I caught the first episode last night. It was very good. I'd been getting TikTok ads for it.
Such a great show.
Yeah, it was really, it's really funny and like, it's clever, but it's like nice and genuine too.
Love that. It has heart.
It's got heart.
Mm-hmm. Okay, our first story, speaking of heart, some unexpected celebrity relationship news that I think we have no choice but to ship. Anna Kendrick and Bill Hader have been quietly dating for a year.
I think we do have a choice.
Oh, you think we have choices? Okay, interesting. Yeah. A source told People on Thursday that the two have been dating. The insider said Anna has been dating Bill quietly for over a year. They met years ago. She's hosted Saturday Night Live, and they've done a movie together, but they got together well after the movie. The movie being Noelle, that Disney Plus Christmas movie. The source said they are both very private people, and with the pandemic, it was easy to keep it quiet. They're both hysterical, so they must keep each other laughing all the time. She's really, really happy.
Yeah, Bill Hader is hilarious and hysterical, for sure.
Yeah, and you're not a fan of Anna Kendrick, is what you're trying to not say.
Well, I'm definitely not a fan of Anna Kendrick, but that doesn't mean I don't want her to be happy. And I do think that relationships that get, like, kept private for so long, this is, like, they've got a real shot in Hollywood, mm-hmm. which is tough these days. I just don't see the match. Like, for me, Bill Hader became a catch after the movie Trainwreck. Like, what that movie did for his...
No, like, he is the most eligible man in the world after Handsome. Trainwreck. He's a doctor.
Yeah, and I feel like not a lot of people saw him like that until that movie.
Yeah, I know I didn't. I didn't really think about him that much. This story to me, like, if you told me yesterday, like, Bill Hader and Anna Kendrick are dating trying to convince me that I already knew that, like, I would believe you. This is just, like, two people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, I just, when I read it, I was like, oh, well, that makes sense. Like, it almost just sounds so familiar. Like, yeah, duh, they should date.
That's interesting. I didn't have the same experience. I'm like, what the fuck? How random.
Oh, that's so funny. I felt the complete opposite. Like, how apt. That's what I felt. It was apt.
Oh, no. No. Anna Kendrick is just one of those girlies who, like, gets on my nerves. I think a lot of people feel that way. But again, that doesn't mean I don't want her to be happy and find love. So if this is it, that's wonderful. I was just, like, really surprised.
Remember when Bill Hader was dating Rachel Bilson?
See, for me, that was the feeling that you got. I was like, oh, my God, like, yeah.
No, for me, they're two different worlds. Summer Roberts, Doctor from Trainwreck.
They are two different worlds.
For this couple, to me, is, like, two people from the same planet of two.
No, I'm not seeing it that way. But I do think that they have a lot of potential. And I love that they've been together for so long and nobody knew it, because that means, like, there's something real there.
Oh, yeah. And at this point, like, they've been dating for a year. They're extremely serious. It's actually nice to hear about it. It's nice to hear about it 1 year later. And it's not like we have to walk on eggshells. Like, this is a real relationship and we can either celebrate and ship or, you know, opt out.
Yeah, it's nice to not deal with, like, they were spotted. Are they? Are they just friends? Are they working on a business project? Like, no, they might get engaged soon. Like, they've been together for a year.
Yeah, I totally agree. I wonder why now, like, this source came forward to tell People magazine. I feel like that was endorsed by the couple. Like, I just wonder why this source?
Announcement, yeah. I really, when I read the statement, it really made it seem like it was written by someone who works with Anna.
Yeah, no, I feel like it was definitely, like, endorsed by the couple. They were like, we're ready to tell people, just, like, go and tell People magazine or whatever. We also could have gotten, like, pictures of them. Actually, if we just got pictures of them, like, kissing at a farmer's market or something, we would have thought it was, like, their first date.
Yeah, right. We wouldn't have known that it's been going on for months.
Yeah. So I guess, like, they're just giving us all of the information all at once, and I do appreciate that.
It's funny that we're having so, like, two totally different reactions. I would love to hear what other people think. Like, were you like, oh, yeah? Or were you like, what?
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine being like, what? But let us know,
please. I can't even imagine being like, oh, duh.
No, duh.
No, I don't see it like that at all. That's so crazy because we always have, like, the same.
Yeah, that's life really funny. Are you ready for our next story, which is some really crazy news?
Before we do, I feel like we should mention that yesterday we recorded, I think, one of our best podcast episodes for the Patreon channel yet.
Yes, we did. It was called Toasters with a Secret, and it's in the vein of Claudia's former Instagram account, Girl with a Secret, where people just anonymously submitted some of their deepest, darkest secrets. It's completely anonymous. We don't even know who they're from. And
100% anonymous.
100% anonymous.
Ooh, that was good.
And people just really unburdened themselves. We shared the secrets. We absorbed them. We reacted to them. We tried not to give advice because it wasn't like you were looking for advice. These are secrets from like some people.
And we tried not to judge.
From like 15 years ago. But it was just like so entertaining. People loved the episode. We're definitely going to do a part two because we still have so many more secrets. And they're still coming in.
And Jackie, literally when I opened up my computer today to record the podcast, the last thing we had done was the Patreon. The Google form is up on my computer. There was over 100 new entries.
Oh my God. Okay. So we're definitely going to do more. It's a great time to become a Patreon member, patreon.com/themorningtoast. That episode was really, really fun to record. And also, I thought you were going to say this, but I do need to clarify something from yesterday's episode.
Yes, you do.
Okay. With Harry and Meghan. So much stuff. But first of all, I had said, I misspoke yesterday because I misunderstood. They were offering to pay for their security in the UK. The problem is, so it has to do with like gun laws in the UK and who can be armed. And pretty much like only the highest level, most police officers aren't even armed. It's not like it is here. So they wanted to pay for armed police protection. And the government said, this isn't a service that you can just pay for. No one can. Right. You can't.
They were offering to pay, though.
They were offering to pay, but, like, these police officers aren't for hire, you know? Yeah. It's like trying to get, like, buy police protection. That's just not something that you can do, even though that's what they wanted to do. I was reading,
but in America,
like,
you can have, like, armed security guards.
Right, right. And also, so they could bring their own security from America, but then those American security agents aren't going to get access to the UK intelligence and work with the police in the UK because it's like a foreign body
agency.
And they're not going to share intel with them. So it's a lot more complex than like even, you know, like Page Six is citing. And I think it's really confusing, especially for Americans, because we're like, why can't you have armed security? Like every celebrity here has armed security. So I was actually reading these Instagram stories by this account called The Royal Watcher. She has a highlight called Security, and it's all about this and what's actually going on. I found it to be really interesting, but I just wanted to clear up. They were willing to pay. They weren't expecting taxpayers to pay for it, but it's just not something that you can pay for. These aren't for hire. They're, you know, government officials.
Right. But we did, like, totally misrepresent the story by accident, and it happens to the best of us. Like, we cannot be everything to everyone all the time. It was an accident, and
I take full responsibility, but then, so we got it wrong, and then I was reading what other people were sending me, and then I read even more, and I realized what the news articles are saying are also misrepresenting the situation. Okay. So there's just, like, so much more to this story, and it just has to do with, like, what we expect here versus what goes on over there.
It's a cultural difference.
It's a cultural difference. Like, I think a lot of these things are when we all talk about, like, when Americans and people in the UK just, like, talk about the royals and, like, what's expected. We don't even have fucking royals. Like, who are we going to say?
No, and, like, we're more obsessed with the royals in America than the people in, like, Britain are.
No,
I'm telling you we are.
Who, me and you? Or this country?
Us.
Oh, we're so obsessed.
Oh, we know nothing.
And, yeah, no, but they're so obsessed over there, too. And as Americans, like, we just don't, we all don't understand a lot.
The nuances.
Yeah, so just, I need to clear that up.
We just are a bunch of monarchists.
We're royalists.
Sure.
Because, like, it's a not, like, yes, they have a monarch over there, but it's not like their country is, it's a,
they're not, like, ruled by
they're the not, queen. Like, ruled by the queen. She doesn't have that much power.
She has no power. Yeah.
Yeah. She's just a queen. You love to
literally
see it. Are you ready for our next story? Mm-hmm. Now I do feel ready. I wasn't ready before. Adele tears up while announcing her Las Vegas residency is being postponed. This was really crazy. Yeah. Adele posted a video last night profusely apologizing for postponing her Weekends with Adele residency at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas, which was scheduled to begin today. So she took to Twitter and said, "Hi, listen, I'm so sorry, but my show ain't ready. We've tried absolutely everything that we can to put it together in time and for it to be good enough for you, but we've been absolutely destroyed by delivery delays and COVID. Half my crew, half my team is down with COVID. They still are, and it's been impossible to finish the show. I can't give you what I have right now, and I'm gutted. I'm gutted, and I'm sorry it's so last minute." So the show was supposed to be today.
Can I tell you?
People, like, obviously already bought their tickets to get there. People were on the plane.
People are in the hotel rooms.
Yeah. And it's canceled.
So I heard two things.
Okay.
The first thing I heard is that she saw that 100% was coming out and felt extremely threatened and just didn't. She could feel like the new era of my music kind of taking over the music industry, and she just didn't want to compete against that because, like, you know, she's tired. You know, she's been through a lot, and she's just not in the mood to put up another fight with an iconic pop star. And that was kind of the reason behind, like, the catalyst that got her to cancel the shows. That's what I heard.
And what was the second thing that you heard?
Well, the second thing I read on Dumas was that, like, yes, what Adele said is true. Like, there have been delays because of COVID and people are getting COVID. But it was, like, a creative thing. Like, she's worked on the show. Like, if she wanted to put together a show and perform tonight, like, she could have. It wasn't like there wasn't one dancer in Las Vegas who couldn't make it. It was possible. She just, like, wasn't super happy with it. And, like, I get wanting perfection for yourself 100%. But, like, it seems, and don't come for me, like, it seems incredibly selfish when, like, the first row of your show was going for $40,000 a seat. Like, that's what it was. And I was actually talking to two people who work in Las Vegas in the entertainment industry, and they were like, and they're like high up, they're like, we cannot get tickets. Like, when I tell you, like, every seat, no one paid less than $1,000 for the worst seat in the house. Like, and these are Adele's, like, tried and true fans. And honestly, it was just like, I think she could have handled it way better.
Well, of course, everything's being postponed. There are refunds, but that is crazy.
But you can't get a refund for your airplane.
No, you can't. You can't get a refund for your time and, you know,
your PTO.
The nanny. Yeah.
The PTO.
But here's the thing. I feel so many ways about this. One, like, I know that Adele feels all of these things and evaluated all of those things before she made her decision. But it's hard not to think, and I know I'm being simplistic and there's so much more that goes into it, but, like, Adele is one of the few singers who could just get up there with a microphone, an instrumental version of her song, and give us a show, an amazing show. Like, it's not as if she's someone who needs all of these sets and all this production. What she needs is musicians, but, you know, there are musicians out there, and even if the first show wasn't going to be creatively what she wanted, which I understand that it wasn't going to happen, whether, say, like, 25% of the musicians are out. We saw that special on Oprah. Like, she has a full orchestra band. Like, that's a lot of people that need to stay healthy and be able to perform with you. But I feel like, and obviously she weighed all of these things before she made this decision, I don't think anybody is feeling this burden more than her. But it could have been done. It wouldn't have been the A-plus thing that she wanted, but would it have been better to do...
The show is her voice.
Would it have been better to do, like, a B-minus show?
She's incapable of putting on a B-minus show, like, for real. And you know what? You know Katy Perry launched her Vegas residency 2 weeks ago, and I've seen videos of it. She has the crazy, because it's so Katie, craziest lights, craziest dancers, craziest costume. She has an enormous toilet. Like, it's above and beyond. It's fucking crazy. And everyone's like, it's camp, but it's crazy, okay? So if she's able to do that in COVID times in Las Vegas, like, I do think they could have gotten themselves a very good show. And I just think if she wanted to have canceled it because it wasn't working out creatively, the last possible time she could have done that was a week ago.
Yeah. But I'm sure a week ago she was like, no, we're going to figure it out and we're going to do this and I'm Adele and I can sing. And something made it so that, like, they actually can't do it. And it just feels like silly to even be like, but you could have tried. It could have been okay. Because I'm sure she tried everything. It's just really crazy that, like, how bad could it have been?
Right. For her to have canceled. It's just... the part that, like, bothered me when I heard it was, like, I was seeing people on TikTok, like, literally getting the Twitter notification from Adele, like, as they're in the cab from the airport.
You know, like, people got it on the plane.
It's just, it's not fair to play. Like, people spend their hard-earned money on shows. And these artists mean, like, if you're going to spend a lot of money on an artist, like, it's because that artist means a lot to you. Like, their music means a lot to you. And I know she knows all of this, and I'm not saying I'm mad at Adele, but, like, this is a situation that can and should have been handled very differently.
But you don't think she feels all of those things, so that's why I'm just, like, she knows all of this, and she also knows that, like, she can do a show, like, she could just get up there and do anything.
Yeah.
So I think this decision clearly weighed very heavily on her. She's very emotional in the video.
In the video.
And I'm just, I need to understand even more, like, how many people were you supposed to have on stage with you? How many are out with COVID? What didn't show up? Like, because I feel like she still could have done it, but she obviously couldn't because she can't, because she's not.
Agreed to everything you just said.
Yeah. So anyone who's in Las Vegas for Adele, there's a lot of other
Katy Perry.
There's fun stuff to do there. You know, have a great time for those of us who aren't there because it's just the greatest city in the world.
Yeah, there are worse places to be, like, stranded.
It's the greatest city in the world, I think. People are like, it's New York, Paris.
London, Milan.
Las Vegas.
Because you know what? You got Paris and Vegas. You got New York and Vegas. You got it all.
No,
it's a multicultural, bustling metropolis of city life.
It's amazing. It's an amazing place. And speaking of, oh my gosh, same. Speaking of amazing, our next story just warms the cockles of my heart. Are you ready?
Is it the story that warms the cockle of your hearts that's brought to you by Legacy Box, perchance?
Because Legacy Box also warms the cockles of my heart? Yes.
Exactly. So what's your New Year's resolution? If you're like most, there's a box of your family's treasured home movies and photos tucked inside a closet that you've been meaning to preserve, but you weren't sure where to start. Legacy Box makes checking this off your to-do list super easy. Simply send your Legacy Box filled with old home movies and photos, and you'll get back digital copies that can be easily enjoyed, shared, and organized. It's like magic. So this is something I think every single person who grew up in the 90s or 80s or early 2000s can relate to. Like these boxes of videos that you're just dying to see, but how the hell do you get a cassette tape to play on your phone? Well, here's how. Legacy Box's team of 200 trained technicians will process 19 different media types from a VHS to a Super 8, film by hand, and they'll do it right here in the USA. It's so easy. You sign up for Legacy Box, they'll send you the box, put all your crap in it, send it to them, and you'll get back a digitized copy and the original copies of all your home movies and photos, so you can get it on a thumb drive, the cloud. It's so easy, and they update you along the way so you know all of your family's memories are being preserved safely. They have an online tracking system, so you get up to 12 emails updated along the process, so you always know where you're at. Each purchase includes access to a special concierge available 7 days a week to answer all of your Legacy Box questions. So kick off the new year by rescuing your family's most cherished memories. Go to legacybox.com/toast to take advantage of an exclusive discount for you guys. That's Legacy Box, L-E-G-A-C-Y, box.com/toast. Seriously, just do it already. And you know what? Your grandma, your mom, like, it's the best gift you can give them. They will literally sob. If you want to be the favorite child or grandchild, you're welcome.
You're welcome. Okay, our story is Luke Combs and his wife, Nicole, are expecting their first baby together. They say this may be the best year yet. So both Luke and Nicole shared the exciting news in an Instagram post last night, captioning the sweet collection of snaps of them and their sonogram, saying, "Here we go, y'all. Lil Dude Combs is coming this spring. Couldn't be more excited to start a family with this babe. It's going to be a hell of a ride."
Okay, first of all, those photos they took on the beach, I've never seen, like, besides for you, obviously, like, pregnancy glow. Like, she looked so different, like, so angelic. And, like, it was, like, honestly, perhaps, aside from yours, the most, like, glowing announcement. Like, it was just really shocking. She looked like she was born for this. Like, she looked amazing. And I can't help but think, like, we're going to get, like, Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder level type of music about childbirth, about motherhood, about being a dad. Like, I cannot wait.
No, I'm so excited. My pregnancy announcement photos were taken on self-timer in my living room, so it's totally fine. It's totally with, like, a tripod, so yeah. It's fine.
You would never know.
Oh, thank you. No, these photos were so stunning. It's so crazy. Like, it's so funny, like, which announcements, like, just really, like, hit home. And maybe it's because I'm, like, 8.5 months pregnant, and I just, like, love Luke and Nico so much. It's just, like, really, it made me, like, emotional. I'm so excited for them.
It's not just you. It's not just you.
And it's, like, I really feel so blessed to, you know, with my fellow, like, pregnant ladies right now, like, especially the people that I follow. And what's also crazy is so many of the people that, like, I'm pregnant with in the last 6 months have given birth already. So
yeah, now Raven Gates.
Right, Raven, like, Chelsea Curtis, Emily Donato, like, everyone's sort of cycling out. And so to have Nico, like, on the rest of this journey with me, like, I'm feeling really good. Like, it's me, Nico, Kylie, Morgan Stewart. What a crew.
So we saw Nico, like, a month ago.
You did. Oh, my God. Sorry.
me and Margo. And she, like, wasn't drinking. But you know me, I was, like, not even noticing because, like, I was so drunk. And then when she posted her announcement, Margo obviously texted me within 5 seconds of it going up and was like, this is why Nico wasn't drinking. And I'm like, oh, like, it all made sense.
I didn't even realize you saw her.
Yeah.
Pregnant. Mm-hmm. And you didn't even know.
Didn't even know. And then when I texted her, I was like, oh, my God, congrats. She was like, it was so hard not to drink with you guys. Like, queen.
Oh, my God, that is so cute. I'm so happy for them. Like, it's just, me too. It's beautiful. It's the miracle of life, you know?
And it's, like, they're just so perfect. Like, I can't. Like, I've never in my life felt so connected to an Instagram post that, like, had nothing to do with me, you know?
No, I feel similarly.
You know, I'm like, how do I make this about me? Like, this is me. This is my life. Like, get me in that photo. Like, what I would have done to been, like, the photographer.
Yeah, yeah.
So special.
It was really special. And I was just, like, really feeling the emotions. And I'm
so happy for them. Like,
truly. Truly, truly.
Talk about, like, just two people who deserve happiness. And they're getting it with their little bebe. I think they said it was a boy, right?
Yeah, a boy. Which, like, I love an outright gender reveal.
Me too. Like, no drama, just gender.
No drama, just gender. Like, information at our fingertips.
So, and I can't wait to see the pregnancy content. Like, it's just going to be too good. The songs, the Instagrams, like, we're about to go on the best 9 months of our lives.
Yeah, well, I think it's, like, they said spring 2022, so I think it's probably, like, 6 more months.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are you ready for our next story?
No, I just want to, like, literally keep talking about these two.
I know, and these are the next stories, too, that you don't want to keep talking about.
Brittany and Jamie.
It's Brittany and Jamie Lynn. Part 2 of Call Her Daddy came out last night. So it was, like, the second half of the interview that they filmed over a week ago. And then there was also a follow-up Zoom because of all the news that made news in the time since they filmed.
Wow, good for Alex, like, not letting the podcast go stale.
Yes. Okay, so honestly, I don't know if it's me or if it was the episode, but, like, I barely absorbed anything because Jamie Lynn has officially fatigued me on this 100%. Story. So she talks about the ways that she tried to, like, free herself from the Britney conservatorship over the last free Britney from the conservatorship over the last 13 years. She cites, like, a time that they were in Hawaii and Britney was confiding in her and Jamie Lynn told her to, like, move out of California for 6 months and then the conservatorship would be dissolved, which just seems like a really simplistic, like, oh, that's the solution right. This whole time.
And she could have done that the whole time.
Right. So it was just a lot of stuff like that, how Jamie Lynn, like, spoke up to lawyers and then, like, Jamie Lynn got in trouble. And
Jamie Lynn got in trouble.
It was all, like, so vague. And then she provides, like, all of these text messages, which even though she was reading, like, I just couldn't absorb I don't know what they said. I watched the whole thing. I don't know what they said. I don't know what she said. But this has been a brilliant PR move because I no longer care.
No, I actually think this has been a brilliant PR move on Jamie Lynn's behalf because I think, obviously, the goal of this interview series and this book, which no one was going to give the book the time of day, but I think a lot of people are like, turning for Jamie, like, from the podcast, or at least understanding her. Personally, I am not. Like, for the most part, you either believe Jamie or stand with Britney. Like, you really can't do both. And I just stand with Britney, and, like, so that's why I've been fatigued by this story. Like, even if Jamie is telling the truth and everything, like, I don't care. Like, I stand with Britney.
Yeah. I mean, doing these episodes, I don't think hurt her at all because anytime, like, you hear someone's story, you hear, like, the frog in their throat as they're talking about, like, getting DMs and, you know, being scared and all these things. Like, it just humanizes a person and you do realize, like, the whole world, it's like,
agreed.
It's been this Free Britney movement for so long and now all of a sudden that means, like, we have to drag Jamie Lynn through the streets. Like, why can't we free Britney and also just go back to, like, however we felt about Jamie Lynn before that? You know, like, there's so many more, like, nefarious actors in the Free Britney, world. You know, obviously her parents and Lou
Taylor.
Right. And so I really feel like, and I felt this way from the first episode, is, like, Jamie Lynn is kind of, like, irrelevant to the story. Like,
she's become, like, the face of the villain.
Right. But I just feel like when it all started, like, she's just not germane to the way that it all unfolded. I don't think anything she could have done along the way might have helped people. She was vehement that she has not benefited or participated in the conservatorship at all. she said, because remember how we had said and we had read that, like, she was getting paid from, she was, like, another person on the payroll of the conservatorship. She said, like,
her name is in those documents many times.
She said she has nothing to do with the conservatorship. The only time her name is in the documents is because at one point Brittany asked her to be a trustee on a trust for Brittany's boys.
The kids.
If anything were to happen to Brittany. And Jamie Lynn, like, said that she would. But then, and so because Brittany, like, that was going to happen, that had to be shown to the court. Anytime Brittany makes any sort of moves or decision or does anything, it all goes into the court. So the court had on file that Jamie Lynn is going to be a trustee on this account. Then Jamie Lynn didn't, like, ever do the bare minimum of becoming a trustee. She said she just, like, didn't want to do it, which I thought was interesting. Like, why not?
Kind of fucked up.
Yeah. And so then, and then the court documents say that Jamie Lynn is not a trustee because she didn't do what she needed to do. So she says that's the only time her name appears in these things, and it has to do with a trust that has nothing to do with the conservatorship.
Just the kids.
Just, like, an aside, anybody could, any human being could set up a trust for their kids and then say, hey, can you be a trustee?
Got it. Okay.
It's not like she was a trustee on the conservatorship, which I think people, like, had read it that way. But again, I don't fucking know.
No, and this is the thing. Like, everyone's just saying conflicting things, and there's legal documents that support what everyone says. And, like, I just don't – I'm just fatigued. Like, I just want Brittany to have peace. And I just think that the concept of her sister writing this book when, like – the whole concept of her book, and I've said this earlier in the week, is, like, you know, my life was never about me. I was always living in the shadow of my sister, and I went through this, you know, teenage pregnancy, and, like, it was still always about Brittany. And then it's like she writes this book, and the timing is so bad because the book, even though it mentions Brittany quite a bit, is not really supposed to be about Brittany. It's supposed to be about, like, Jamie. But even now, it's like the book is about Brittany. The press is about Brittany. And I don't know if that she's doing that intentionally or that's just because your sister is the biggest pop star in the world and is currently going through one of the biggest national news stories of all time. But it's, like, enough. Like, just let Brittany have the moment.
Yeah.
And, like, and let Brittany find peace.
And in the second part, especially when they got on Zoom and Jamie Lynn was, like, sharing text messages between her and Brittany, like, that were meant to exonerate her. But I have to be honest, like, I don't know if I have pregnancy brain. I couldn't even tell you what they said. It was, like, a lot of word salads, you know?
I think that there's a special place. No, I don't want to say that, actually. I just really do not like when people share private messages publicly.
Yeah, especially with your family members.
Like, family. Like, that's, like, disgraceful, in my opinion.
So,
but I just think as a society, like, the discourse we're having around Jamie Lynn, like, we can keep it healthy, but so many people are coming for her looks, and that's just fucking mean, and I don't think we should do that.
Like, oh, where do you nothing see, to do with it. Where do you see stuff like that?
All over TikTok and, like, Twitter. People just, like, making comments, and it's like, leave her alone, okay? Like, that's not what this is about.
Yeah, that's unnecessary. I'm glad to say that I don't even, like, see stuff like that. I only see what, like, the Toast After Dark thinks about things. That's my Twitter.
Same. And they're brutal.
Okay. Well, I really hope we can put this story to bed. And barring anything actually consequential happening, no more back and forth Instagram captions. Like, it's a little China for the time being.
I agree. Even then, that's not too, because I got some flack earlier in the week for being like, I'm over these two. That doesn't mean I don't want Brittany to have her freedom and her happiness. I'm just personally, like, fatigued by sisters fighting and, like Instagram notes apps back and forth. That's
and
it.
Things changing Brittany, every single day. And, like, one day calling someone scum and the other saying, like, I love you, you're my sister. Like, I just, I don't have the energy. Right. Like, it's whiplash.
I have a hobby for you, Jackie. Have you heard of Wordle?
People were suggesting it, but I don't know what it
is. Okay, so it was my first day yesterday. It's like it's a website you go to on your phone, just like Google Wordle.
Okay.
And it's a puzzle that comes out every single day. Everyone gets the same puzzle, and you have to figure out, it's like a word jumble. You're very smart and, like, good with words. I think you'll like it. It's very challenging. Like, I did my first one yesterday, and I got it right, but it took me, like, 15 minutes. Like, it's not just, like, a game you play. It takes time to, like, sit and think it through. I can't really explain the rules, but when you open the website, like, they'll just explain it to you. There's just a 5-letter word that you have to guess, but they give you no clues.
That's pretty cool. And then what happens if you, like, win? Is it like HQ where you're competing with, like, on a leaderboard, or it's just for personal enjoyment?
That's an interesting call. I'm sure there might. I mean, I'm not involved with the leaderboard because I just got involved yesterday and I did mine today, and, like, I'm actually kind of good at it.
I also I heard about what you did.
I know. Don't bring it up. Okay, I got literally canceled on the internet yesterday, like, right before my song came out. And, like, I didn't need that type of bad press.
All press is good press when you have a song coming out.
So I didn't realize that, like, one Wordle comes out every day and everyone gets the same word. So at 7 p.m., I was like, I did it. I got it on the fourth try, and you only get like six. So I screenshotted it. I was like, yes, I got the word. And people, and I left my phone. I think I went to like walk Theo. Like, I left my phone for longer than usual because, you know, I'm on my phone every minute.
Yeah.
But I think I maybe like made a, like a snack or something. I come back. My phone is being lit up like, you spoiled it. And I'm like, what? Everyone gets the same word? That's so stupid. I didn't know that. So, oh my God, there's like a special way to share your score. I learned it all now. But, oh my God, people are fucking brutal. The Wordle community is cutthroat.
Damn. Well, now you know.
And now you know if you start playing.
I'll check it out.
Or if anyone listening doesn't know what Wordle is.
Yeah, I will check it out. But are you ready? No, you're not ready.
Have you heard of West Elm Caleb?
I've heard those three words together. I've heard a little bit, but I don't know anything. It's just a guy who was dating all the girls in New York City.
I have like an extremely hot take on it.
Can you tell us what it is first for those of us who are grannies?
So a couple girls on TikTok like put together that they all in the last couple years or even like the last year had similar interactions on this dating app with a guy named Caleb who works at West Elm. And he's basically just a fuckboy. Like, he'll, you know, he'll see multiple people at the same time. He's not committing any crimes, I don't think. But he's just like an ass, like a classic douchebag fuckboy. Like,
so what, he's on a dating app and he goes on a lot of dates?
He goes on a lot of dates, dates multiple women at the same time. I think he says a lot of the same things to the women. Like, douchebag, just classic douchebag behavior.
Okay.
But it, like, became this big thing because everyone put together on TikTok that, like, they were all talking to the same guy. And they, only things they really knew about him was that his name was Caleb and he worked at West Elm. So now he's been going around the internet as West Elm Caleb. And it's become this enormous, enormous story. Like, he is getting annihilated. Like, he had to delete his LinkedIn. People are flooding the West Elm Instagram being like, fuck Caleb, West Elm Caleb sucks. And everyone's like living for it. And like, I get it. It's fun to like hop on a trend and talk about and like be viral.
But
the way that I understand, and perhaps I'm missing some information, the man has not committed any crimes. Like, being an asshole is not a crime.
No, but from what you're describing, I still don't understand how he's an asshole. Like, how many people are on dating apps? The point of dating apps is to go on dates. There are only so many words in the English language. Like, if you, like, anyone who's, like, on a dating app, you say, like, the same, like, pick up, like, hey, you, like, shit like that, like, to all the people that you're trying to go out with. Like, unless it's unless someone could give me a number that would be like extremely like a serial dater, that's what a dating app is.
Right,
like, hopefully if things go well, like, you talk to people and you go on many dates.
So 100%. And so everyone's like kind of coming on this train, like West Elm Caleb, like all these brands are like making jokes on their brand social media, like Ruggable, you know, the company that makes those washable rugs.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, none of these rugs from Ruggable were designed by West Elm Caleb. So it's like this man who's like a private citizen and whose only crime is like being, you know, a fuckboy, which is not a crime, is getting like his life ruined, like doxxed. And like, to me, and everyone's like, it's like all fun and games. And I'm like, what's wrong with everyone? Like, this is bad. Like, this is not what the internet is supposed to do. It's just like, in my opinion, and I think that this is an extremely hot take because most people are having a lot of fun ganging up on this man. I think it's like the worst thing like you could do. This is a private citizen. He wasn't posting on TikTok. He was on a private dating app and they all just like put it together and used his pictures and talked about where he worked. Like, is he getting fired?
Yeah, that doesn't sit right with me, but I don't know the details of this nefarious behavior of his beyond going on a lot of dates and just like
meeting a lot of girls. As far as I know, it's nothing nefarious, like criminal. It's just like being a dick.
He's mean to the girls?
No, like, not mean, but not nice. Like, classic man behavior. Like, rude. Like, manly. Bad at dating. Like, bad.
Okay. Send me more stuff.
I will.
But still, like...
And also, let us know what you think. Like, I might be missing some information, because I'm going, you know, 27 going on 28. But I'm pretty sure I have, like, a good grip on the situation.
I feel like you would have a good grip on the situation. You're very much kept abreast. There's nothing that happens on TikTok that you don't see.
Amen. 100%. Now, 100%.
For our fifth and final story, we are completely switching gears, like 180 degrees. Hmm. From West Elm Caleb to a little Titanic news that I found really interesting. And now you're all going to have to hear it. So I don't know if you know this, but...
You love a Titanic update.
I love a Titanic update. It's been over 100 years, and, like, there's still updates, which is just incredible. There's a new book coming out about the Titanic, and I don't know if you know this about the Titanic, but the night that the Titanic sank, there was a boat nearby-ish who, like, the Titanic hit the iceberg at 11:30 p.m. I just don't feel like you're, like, paying attention to this important, to these
I was actually
facts.
Just looking up West Elm Caleb because I didn't want to misspeak. And I'm reading this BuzzFeed article, which is a highly unreliable source because they've written lies about many people. But what they said, it turns out that several women had similar experience with the West Elm furniture designer. He had ghosted them after a few dates or texts and did some classic fuckboy moves. That's it.
Okay, yeah, no, everyone's insane. The night the Titanic sank, there was a ship not far away called the SS Californian, but the Titanic hit the iceberg at 11:30 p.m., and the captain of the other boat turned off his radar and went to sleep and missed all of the distress signals from the Titanic. And for a very long time, like, this captain, this man, like, it has been said that, like, if he, you know, left it on or had someone manning the channels, that they would have heard these calls, they would have went over to the Titanic, and they could have saved people who were drowning, who were freezing.
Helped people,
yeah. And etc. Now, there is a new book saying that the sailor on the nearby ship who dozed through the Titanic distress calls did not cost any lives. The new historian is overturning history's damning 110-year-old verdict. So
if only this man was alive to, like, be exonerated.
To have his name cleared. When I read this book about the Titanic over
the
summer.
Imagine the guilt.
Imagine. There were a lot of people who lived with Titanic guilt. Any man who survived the Titanic, like, was shamed for really, like, the rest of their lives because it was, like, meant for, like, women and children to get in those boats. And if any women and children died, and a man lived, it was, like, why were you in that spot? And it's like, if they
went shook.
Yeah, if they went from the Titanic straight into a lifeboat, like, oh my God, canceled. If they went down with if they went down with the ship, they got in the water and then were pulled into a lifeboat, hero. But there was, like, one captain of the Titanic, not that he wasn't the main guy, but he was pretty high up, who survived, and, like, for the rest of his life, he was just, like, you know, in this cloud of shame.
Shady.
That, you know, he should have gone down with the ship. Which is just...
I will go down with this ship.
So there's a lot of Titanic shaming going on. But Cyril Evans, who manned the telegraph equipment on the SS Californian, apparently could not have saved any victims of the sinking, expert analysis has concluded. They have decided that even if they had heard it and they went over, it still would have been too long. People would have already froze to death and drowned, and it wouldn't have made any difference.
Okay. I mean, a little too late, Cyril, but...
I don't know.
I mean, that man must have lived, like, the worst life ever after the Titanic. Like, the guilt, the shame from everyone. Like, he just wanted to go to sleep.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that after this, like, then it became, like, maritime law that you couldn't turn off your radar.
There should always be someone alerting, like, monitoring in the high seas at all times.
Yeah, but at the time, it was pretty common to turn off to go to bed. Like, that wasn't crazy. But apparently, like, their ship was also surrounded by ice. It would have taken them so long to navigate through all of it and get over to the Titanic, and it probably wouldn't have made any difference. So,
you know what's something I struggle with?
What?
Remembering that the Titanic was an actual event that happened, because to me it's just the movie, you know? And then it makes it, like, so much more sadder when you realize, and for me, watching Downton Abbey, when, like, the first season is, like, about the Titanic, because they, spoiler alert,
It's in the first episode.
The first episode. I'm like, oh my God, yeah, this was, like, a real historical event, not just an Oscar-winning film.
Yeah. No, the book that I read about it called The Ship of Dreams, which really, I felt covered it from soup to nuts, because at the end, like, it was a very, you know, finite amount of time. It talks about, like, all the different people working on it, you know, all the food that they ate every night leading up to it, like, the menu, right. Like, all of this stuff. Like, so it really was a one-stop shop for Titanic information. And also a lot of the people who died, and, like, what they were about and who they were, and how it sort of, like, changed the course of history and such. Because there was, you know, some people that... You would recognize their names now, I believe.
Right. Wow, okay, that actually is super interesting. I gotta get more into the Titanic.
I would recommend, if you have any Titanic curiosity, scratch the itch with the Ship of Dreams. You will feel, say, after that, I was like, I've got it. I'm good.
The thing is, I'm reading The Hating Game right now, the book that's being turned into a movie with Lucy Hale.
Yeah.
And I just don't think I can really do both. Like, not one after the other. I'm not that girl.
You know what I've heard recently from, like, the Redheads Facebook group? What people are doing is they'll read, like, two books at the same time. One, like, totally, like, fiction, Hating Game, like, Boy Meets Girl. And one completely different, like, a nonfiction Ship of Dreams. And you'll never get the two confused.
That's actually true, because the fact that I read, like, all the same types of books, I never know. Like, if you tell me a book that I've read, I'll be like, which one's that?
Yeah, you could.
Is it about the girl? Is it about the girl who finds out her dad is actually her mom? Or is it about the girl who jumps off the yacht?
You couldn't read, like, Colleen Hoover and Christina Lauren at the same time.
Right. They're literally the same.
Right. But if you did have, like, if you had one nonfiction book going and one fiction book going, I actually think that's a pretty cool idea, because sometimes you're in the mood for something different.
Yeah.
So think about it.
Okay. Was that the fifth?
That was the fifth and final story. I feel as though you needed to know it. I guess justice for Cyril Evans. Hopefully his family can have some peace. But still, Titanic. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Well, let's dive into the TV recap, because I have a lot of things I want to talk to you about. And that TV recap segment is brought to you by BetterHelp. So today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. We talk about BetterHelp a lot on the show, and this month we're discussing some of the stigmas around mental health. For example, some people think you should wait until things are unbearable to go to therapy, but that's totally untrue. Therapy is a tool to utilize before things get worse, and it can also help you avoid those lows. A lot of people also think therapy is for so-called crazy people. But therapy doesn't mean something's wrong with you. It means you recognize that all humans have emotions, and we all need to learn to control them and not avoid them. So BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to, because, like, that could be awkward. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online. The podcast, The Morning Toast, obviously has a great offer for you guys. So you can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/toast. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/toast. Okay, TV recap. The first thing I want to talk about with you is Ted Lasso, because I did start it. To be honest, I had no idea what it was about. And then when you were just basically telling me it's like this feel-good Disney Channel show, I was like, you know what? I could use that. And from the minute I started watching it, like, I totally understood the appeal. It really is, like, nothing bad happens. Like, it's just really sweet. And sometimes I hate shows where, like, the protagonist is, like, so happy and kind that they're, like, stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But Ted is not stupid. He's actually extremely clever and Klug, but he is very kind and Southern. And sometimes I feel like they equate that with being stupid.
No,
like,
he's
you
not.
You could be smart and nice.
Yeah. No, he is very, he's just optimistic. And also, as you get deeper into the show, you'll realize that he definitely has some demons. You know, no one is just, like, so one-dimensional like that. So
yeah.
There's more to Ted than meets the eye. But I agree. It's like he just answers every question with positivity, but it's not stupidity.
Right. And some of the shit he says is incredibly powerful. Like, he said two things. I watched only four episodes, and there were two things that really stuck with me. What's the happiest animal on earth?
Goldfish.
A goldfish, because he has a 10-second memory. Like, oh my God, genius. The other thing he said, they say youth is wasted on the young. And then he was like, don't waste your wisdom on your
something.
Hold on. I want to say it because it was actually really Ted Lasso. Youth wasted on the young. I was like shook by it. Oh, here. You know how they say that youth is wasted on the young? Well, I say don't let the wisdom of age be wasted on you.
Stunning. Stunning.
And the other thing I like about the show is, like, there's so many good characters. Like, obviously Ted, but Nate, the, I don't know what he is. Like, the man, like, the locker room manager?
He's like the water boy.
Oh, my God. I literally die for him. And, like, when Ted bought him a suit for the benefit, I was, like, gonna cry. This is so cute. Like, he's such a great, like, extra character. And I just love the show. And, like, now what's annoying is that I started it with Ben. So, like, I will be finishing it in a month because Ben, like,
no,
gets
you
home
have
so late.
No, you have to finish it by Monday. I'm sorry.
That's what I told Ben.
Yeah. No, tell him. Like, it's the weekend. It's a very short show. And we're gonna need your opinions by Monday because, like, things weirdly, there's twists and turns.
Well, I'm trying to see, like, is Ted, I know he has, like, this woman back home, but, like, we don't know anything about her. And it's like, is he going to get on with the team owner? Or maybe that guy's ex-girlfriend who, like, seems to take an interest in Ted.
Keely.
Oh, my God. And, like, Ted is just so cute. Like, he comes into the restaurant and the guy's like, who are you? And he's like, oh, I rode in your taxi today. You told me that your family has a great Indian restaurant. Oh, my God. It was just, it's really, like, a show. This is so me. Like, everyone's like, watch Ted Lasso for literally 2 years. I'm like, no. Now I'm, like, gagging over it. So good.
I'm so glad that you gave it a chance, that you're liking it. I was actually thinking you were going to come on here because the way that you were just talking about it, like, I watched Ted Lasso and I have things to say.
Oh, really?
I thought maybe you were going to be like, this shit is so dumb. But I had all the same feelings as you. And
sweet as sugar.
You just absolutely need to finish it by Monday. That's all I'll say because.
Okay, I promise.
It's an emotional journey and roller coaster, and it's a beautiful show. And
does it get sad?
I never felt sad.
Okay.
But the characters, like, it's nice because it's, you know, a very nice, pleasant show, but the characters aren't so one-dimensional. Like, you get to know them all better. Everyone has a story.
Oh, and, like, in the first episode was Spratt from Downton Abbey, and I was quaking.
Right, Spratt, and then later you'll see Lady Shackleton.
I was looking for her, but I didn't see her yet.
Yeah. Spratt is actually great in it.
Yeah, he is. He's very funny.
And that makes up for him being Spratt.
And the writing is just really clever. Like, so many funny jokes. Just really good.
Yeah, really, really good. And I like the soccer element, too.
Me, too. I don't know much about football, but it's exciting.
It is exciting. So, okay, I'm so glad that you're on this journey.
And then I want to talk to you about Sex and the City.
Oh.
And Just Like That.
And Just Like That.
So I watched the most recent two episodes, and I really do like the show. I just want to say, like, I do like it, but I'm going to be extremely critical of it. Because in a lot of ways, we know these women, like, before the show. Like, we know them really well. And so it's hard for me to believe that some of them have turned into the women that they are now. It's just, like, not believable. For me, I think the most accurate – I actually think Carrie and Charlotte are both perfectly – representing how I think they would turn out. Like, Carrie has not changed at all. Like, she's exactly who she was.
Unfortunately.
And I believe that's, unfortunately, but I do believe that's how she would have grown up.
Right.
Charlotte is literally like a Karen. Like, she is, like, learning about, like, new age feminism. And, like, Carrie, you're mansplaining me. Like, it's just so cringy. She's, like, using these words that she's obviously read, like, from the New York Times and, like, trying to apply it to her daily life. And it's just, like, so moronic. And I actually can see that's how she turned out, because she was, like, very buttoned up. And then, like, her friends brought out, like, her wild side and her more, like, I could see that happening for her.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't see happening is that this is what Miranda evolved into. And I'm not talking about her sexuality. I'm just talking about, like, her as a person. Like, she's kind of reckless and nuts when always she was, like, extremely type A, organized. And people like that, like, do not change. Like, if you're type A, you are always type A. If you're organized, you're always organized. Like, that's who you are.
In what sense, though, like, would you say that she was type A, and how is she behaving now?
Well, that was, like, her whole thing. Like, in the original show, she's, like, extremely cynical, very realistic, like, got her job, went to law school, Yale, Harvard, bought her own apartment. Like, she was always the one just, like, on track with, like, the things that she thought were important. Career, apartment, boyfriend, baby. You know, like, she did it.
Yeah. I would have said that Charlotte was more type A than Miranda. Like, I think that, like, Miranda was very driven, ambitious, and hardworking, but, like, in her like, you know, when we would see her in her, like, home scene, she was always just, like, eating takeout over the sink.
That's true, but I think, like, during the original show, like, Charlotte to start versus Charlotte at the end, like, she had character growth. Like, she wasn't that, like, crazy buttoned up. Like, yes, she was still very Park Avenue, but she was, like, embracing new...
Yeah.
Newness.
Yeah, exactly. Because,
like, Miranda was still the same stubborn bitch she always was. And that's why we loved her.
Yeah, but also because, like, life threw Charlotte some curveballs and she had to adjust. Yeah.
Also threw Miranda curveballs.
Okay.
So I'm just having a hard time, like, understanding, like, that this is what Miranda grew up into. But beyond that, another character who's, like, somehow... I'm just not who I thought he was going to be when he grew up is Steve.
Okay.
He's, like, this, like, idiot. Like, they treat him like he's, like, brain dead. He's just deaf. Like, he's partially deaf in one ear, and they act like he can't do anything and that he's senile, like, because he likes to watch TV. Like, It's just like the Steve that we knew was like such a go-getter, hustler, like for Miranda, for Brady, a family man. Like, this is not it.
What? That's not the Steve I know.
What do you mean?
He was just like extremely like simple.
No, he was always like
go-getter, hustler,
opening his own bar.
I don't know.
Like, from the, you have to think about the character growth. Like, yes, when we met him, he was like a bartender with like not a lot of ambition and just kind of like stagnant in his life. And Miranda definitely brought out, and by the time they actually got together, he was like a business owner. Like, he was hustling. Yes, hustle.
But that, I don't, that's not how I see
especially
him.
Especially hustling for Miranda.
You telling me that he's spending his time on the couch watching TV, like, tracks.
Okay, maybe not the TV thing, but just, like, complacent in his relationship with Miranda. Like, doesn't even want to have sex with her anymore. Like, that's not...
They're still together.
How it would have turned out, in my opinion. Well, so, I'm so glad you asked. Spoiler alert, turn off if the episode's over after this. So, if you haven't watched, go. Miranda is in love with Che. Did I tell you about Che?
Yes. Or if you haven't, then I've seen it, like, on headlines and stuff.
Yeah. So they're like having a relationship and Che believes that it's because Miranda's in an open marriage. And then Miranda's like, no, like, I'm not. And Che's like, I'm not like doing this with you. Like, I'm not going to be like some secret. So Miranda had to really weigh, like, what am I going to do? And Miranda's like, their time is moving very fast. Miranda is in love with Che. So she tells Steve she wants a divorce. She's met someone else. He says, I want you to be happy. It's actually really like lovely. And she's so excited. And so she's on the phone with Carrie, and she's like, I'm heading to the airport. Carrie's like, why? She's like, well, Che's in Cleveland, and I told her I was going to leave Steve, and I did it, and I want to go surprise her. And then the episode ends. So obviously she goes to Cleveland, and Che is like fucking some girl in her dressing room. Like, obviously. That's obviously what happened. So yeah. Then it's like, where does Miranda go from here, you know? Mm-hmm. And then with Carrie, I actually like what they did with Carrie, because they let a few months roll by, so we didn't have to, like, see her in her, like, deepest grief. And she wrote a book. Like, Loved and Lost, her publishers loved it. Like, she's getting back to work being a writer, like, back to her OG stuff. She's back to living in her brownstone. But there's, like, this cool young jewelry designer who lives beneath her. And, like, Carrie wants to be, like, her friend. It's actually getting, it's getting much better. Like, the show at first was, I think, just extremely shocking, especially in the way that they talk about their age. Like, they talk about their age like they're 95 when they're 55.
Have you
and it's
seen,
just frustrating.
Have you seen that, like, the age of the Just Like That ladies, they're yes. the same age as the Golden Girls?
Well, yes, but it just doesn't feel that way.
No, but I think it's also just a sign of, you know, how our, like, our, we think about women of a certain age has changed in a positive way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Because to me, they're all have much life to live, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it's great. They're really putting emphasis on some of the new characters because, of course, like, Sanford is gone and Samantha. So, Seema, who is Carrie's real estate agent who helped her sell the apartment with Big, it was just, like, this really cool, rich, chic Indian woman who's never been married. And, like, she's becoming a part of the crew. She comes to lunch sometimes. And then there's LDW, who is another mom at Charlotte School who's, like, this incredibly cool woman. Her and her husband are just, like, elite, and all Charlotte wants to do is be her friend. And they're really connecting. And so she's obviously going to become, like, they have rotating fourths.
Oh, that's cool. And hopefully...
Yeah, it's really not bad.
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad that you're enjoying it.
I've surprised myself by how much I look forward to the episodes, when at first I was extremely critical. But you know what? I just love the gals. I do. I love the gals. I'm sorry. I'm saying it. I like And Just Like That.
Wow.
I like it.
Good. You should. You're spending your time watching it.
I hope Olivia Ashray listens to this episode, because, like, she watches every episode and she's like, turns it off. She's like, this show sucks. I'm like, well, why are you still watching it? I know she likes it too. It's okay, you guys. We can say we like it.
Okay. You like it. I'm glad that you do. You should only watch television that you like and that sparks joy. Otherwise, it's a complete waste of time.
100%. 100%. Don't let them fuck it. Go hard till the end, because you know that we are. All right, my song is out, you guys. Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, all the places. Please stream it, purchase it, support independent artist. That's what I am. I'm an independent artist. I would really appreciate any purchases of the song, any streams of the song, and just, like, honestly enjoy it. It's really the GNO anthem is what people are saying. It's, like, for girls' night, going on a bachelorette party, out to dinner. It's a perfect pregame song. Add it to your playlists. I hope you like it. And if you're coming to one of my shows, I suggest you learn it because it's going to be an integral part of the show, and, like, you don't want to be left out. So the lyrics are online. Learn them. Love you guys. Anything else you want to say, Jackie, before we wrap up for the week?
No, just have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you on Monday. Head over to patreon.com/morningtoast if you want more content. I don't know if you're taking a road trip or something. We're always here for you.
Always.
That's all she
Thank
wrote.
You guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We need subscribers. Come on. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an amazing, amazing day. Morning Toast Instagram update. We are still not back. We are still working on it, and we are still hopeful. Have a great day, everyone.
It's Morning
we'll see
Toast.
You on Monday.
We're unplugged. Morning Toast unplugged.
You know what? It's kind of nice.
Yeah, everyone should take a little break from tech, but don't take a break from listening to this podcast. It's good for the soul. Love you guys.
Love you.
Bye.